You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Edwin Kelly. Edwin, how you doing?
I am doing great. How are you doing, Ken?
Doing very good. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I've got a lot of great stuff to share with you guys. So,
no, I know you do. Perfect. I'm very excited about this show because there's a lot of good information that I know is useful for me as well as our listeners. Interestingly enough, so Edwin and I are in the same mastermind. I know I've interviewed a lot of folks on the Deal Farm thus far that have been in the mastermind, but it's just chock full of really talented people. And so I was super excited to have Edwin on the show. Edwin is actually the CEO of Specialized IRA Services based out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And self-directed accounts, it's one of those things. I think a lot of people know about self-directed retirement accounts. They know that you can have a self-directed IRA, but they don't necessarily understand all the ways you can utilize one to your benefit. And so I'd love to be able to jump into that today with you, Edwin. Maybe before we get there, give us just a quick history. How did you get into this space?
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of an interesting story. I started out at a very early age wanting to be successful and make a lot of money. In fact, I remember when I was in sixth grade, I knew from that point forward that I was interested in becoming financially independent as quickly as I could. And so in sixth grade, what can you do, right? You don't have a large skill set. So I did odd jobs and I started working and making money. And instead of, you know, buying toys with it or whatever, you know, sixth graders do at the time, I don't think we had really video games back then. So we bought something else. But what we did was, and actually I shouldn't say that because that's dating me, I guess, a little bit now, Ken. But what I did was I actually opened up an UGMA account. And if people are not familiar with an UGMA account, it's basically a brokerage account. But when you're under the age of 18, you can't open an account yourself. You have to have a legal or responsible individual on that account. And so the person who oversaw that account for me was my grandfather. And so I did that when I was in junior high. I had saved up enough money and wanted to put it in and start making investments in the stock market. And so the first investment I ever bought was a stock in a company called Chuck E. Cheese.
I think we've all heard of Chuck E. Cheese.
Everyone knows Chuck E. Cheese. And if you're a parent like me, you love and hate Chuck E. Cheese all at the same time, right? Yeah. I mean, but back then I loved Chuck E. Cheese. And I remember going and I'm like, man, this is the best thing ever because Chuck E. Cheese was new back then. And I'm like, I want to buy stock in this company. And I bought the stock. And at the time I was buying that stock, I bought it between $18 and $22 a share. And very quickly, within a year, it went up to about $42 a share.
Wow.
And so I'm like, wow, a year, I doubled my money, right? This is awesome, right? So I made the right choice. And so I told my grandfather, I said, okay, I want to sell my stock now. And he says, well, no, you don't sell it. He says, you keep it for the long run. And I said, well, I understand. I said, I'm not going to go spend the money. I said, I just want to get out of this stock. And I want to look at buying something else, but you know, I've doubled my money. I want to get out of it.
Sure.
And keep in mind, this is a junior high kid talking to, you know, my grandfather who's you know, much older than I am, obviously. He's like, no, you need to stick with it. And what ended up happening was, and I don't know if people are aware of this, but Chuck E. Cheese ended up filing bankruptcy. And when a public company files bankruptcy, one of the things that the court allows them to do to restructure their finances is that they allow them to wipe out all the previous shareholders and issue new shares of stock and sell them in the open market. So even though Chuck E. Cheese is still around today, and I was one of the original shareholders, my original investment of $18 to $22 per share that went up to $42 a share went to zero. I lost 100% of my money.
And I bet you were thrilled with your granddad after that.
Well, let me just tell you, he never, ever stopped me from selling anything ever again.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So that was. So he felt really bad about that because he was shocked that I was right. But at any rate, what ended up happening was I learned a lesson there. And the lesson I learned from that was that I don't like losing money. Right. And so I said, well, there's got to be a better way of making investments and having all this risk. And so fast forward, I worked in financial services for a number of years. I was at a company, probably most people would know it, it's called UBS. And I worked in their private client wealth group, dealing with some of the highest net worth clients that UBS had. And while I was there, I met a guy, and he was just making phenomenal returns on some of the investments he was putting together. And I said, what are you doing? I said, explain this to me. He says, oh, I do distressed debt investing. And I said, well, what's that? He said, I've never heard of that before. And he says, well, distressed debt investing. He says, well, let me give you an example. He says, this airline company, this is back in the late 90s. And he says, as an example, this airline filed bankruptcy. He says, and they have a lot of bonds outstanding. Well, you know, if you're familiar with bond investing, you pay, say, you know, what they call par, you know, mm-hmm. so 100 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. And that's what you typically buy a bond for if you're buying it at par. And what the bonds were trading at that point in time were about 10 cents on the dollar. Why? Because, well, the company's in bankruptcy, mm-hmm. right? Nobody wants to touch it, particularly airlines, because they typically don't recover. And so, and bonds typically are, quote, backed by the full faith and credit of the company. Well, if the company's in bankruptcy, right, there's not a whole lot of faith mm-hmm. or credit there. And so what happened, though, was the guy went further and he found out that some of these bonds were what they called equipment-backed bonds. Equipment-backed bonds are backed by a specific asset, meaning there's something actually that note is collateralized by. It turns out that these equipment-backed bonds were collateralized by the airplanes themselves. He literally got the tail numbers off these planes, went to a guy who knows, you know, about buying and selling, you know, he's like an airplane broker, and said, how much, if I wanted to fire sale these airplanes, how much could I get for them? Turns out he could get 60 cents on the dollar in a fire sale. So he scooped up these bonds at 10 cents. So worst case scenario is that he sells them for 60 cents on the dollar. Best case scenario is the airline comes out of bankruptcy and he sells those bonds in the marketplace for something beyond 60 cents a dollar. That's how he was making all this money.
Crazy.
And I said, holy cow. I said, well, you know what? I said, I want to tell all my clients about this. He says, you can't. I'm like, what do you mean I can't? He says, you have to be an accredited investor. Now, Ken, if people haven't heard that term and they don't know what an accredited investor is, I can tell you right now, you're not one.
Okay? If
you have to ask the question, you're not one. Okay. So, right. So what that means is that these kinds of cool opportunities aren't available to you. And I said, well, wait a minute. I want to be able to take advantage of these opportunities myself. I want to be able to put my kids in these kinds of things. I want to be able to put my mom and my people like my grandfather in these kinds of things. I want to put my clients and people that I'm helping in these kinds of things. So I said, there's got to be a better way to do this. And that's where I came across self-directing, because what I found is that we can all accomplish the exact same thing, changing up the asset class. As an example, real estate, you know, versus airplanes. And by using a self-directed retirement account, we have the ability, we have the freedom and flexibility and the control to direct our own money into things that we choose like that. So, sure. So that's really what got me into this space. And I've been doing this for 24 plus years, because every year I used to update that, but again, it just ages me. So I just put 24 plus, and that 10 years from now, Ken, it's going to be 24 plus years, just so you know.
That's right. That's funny. So let me ask you this. So if you put your money in like a self-directed account, does that make you eligible for certain investments that are only open to accredited investors? Or you're just saying now it opens you up to alternative investment classes?
It opens you up to anything the government allows you to invest in.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. So you have you can do anything that the government allows. And most of the investments, in fact, we don't see hardly any investments honestly come through self-directed accounts that would require a person to be accredited. Accreditation kind of goes out the window when you're not dealing with your traditional brokerage world in many, many cases. Not always, but in most cases, it goes out the window. What most people we see investing in right now are notes, actual buy and hold property, buy and sell properties, those types of things. The only thing that's required is that you can get into the deal. I mean, that's all. That's the only requirement.
I gotcha. So do you see many folks going into like Reg D type projects with their self-directed accounts?
Yeah, you know, it does happen. And uh-huh. As a matter of fact, we have a number of people that we work with who have Reg D offerings and that are out actively pursuing and raising money. And so in many of those cases, depending upon the rules and how they did their filings, they may be limited to accredited, they may not be limited to accredited mm-hmm. or a certain number. But yeah, we do see that, but until somebody gets to a certain point and they have a real desire to get to that point, it's a lot easier to make a lot of money and not have to mess with any of those types of filings.
Sure, I gotcha. So you come out of UBS, you see this guy making all this money in these alternative investments, and you decide, hey, I'm going to start my own company doing this exact same thing.
Yeah, well, so what happened was I got hired by one of the companies in the industry. So I wanted to learn this space. So I said, I'm going to go learn this business on someone else's dime. And so I got hired by the owner of a company. And at that time, there's only about 3 self-directed providers in the space. You know, that number has grown pretty dramatically. Well, not really. I mean, there's probably 20 maybe providers in our space right now. Not a ton, mm-hmm. relatively speaking. But when I was hired by the owners, they said, your goal is to grow our company. And so I walked in, and the day I walked in, I was the 97th employee hired, and we had about $2 billion in assets under custody. 7 years later, when I left, we had gone from $2 billion in assets to about $12 billion in assets.
Wow.
97 employees to about 400 employees.
Wow.
So we had a pretty successful run there. The problem was I wasn't an owner.
<You know? laughs> Right.
And that presented 2 issues. One was my own personal income. And the other was the fact that I had very little, as we grew, I had a lot of influence on all aspects of the business in the beginning. And then as time went on, I lost some of that influence. And I just wasn't, we didn't share the same business philosophy.
Sure.
And my philosophy has always been, and is true to this day, that, you know, we exist to serve our clients and to help people implement these things and create, you know, wealth and financial independence for their family. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so our job is to make life easy, not make life hard. You know, our focus isn't how do the owners benefit, it's how does the client benefit. Because really, at the end of the day, if we take care of people, then the business takes care of us. And so it seems pretty logical and straightforward, but it's amazing to me how many people in business don't have that philosophy. And so it really, you know, it wasn't necessarily even my goal to start my own company when I started out in all this, but just through experience, I said, you know, the only way to do this right is to get control over the whole operation. And so that's where Specialized IRA Services was born from.
And when did you start the company? What year was that?
So we've been around for about a year now.
Okay.
And we're real excited at how we're doing. We're doing very, very well. Funny thing is that I left that one company. Helped another guy start a company, and we had a really good run at that company for about 3 years, and then I left and started this company, and this one I actually own. The last one we knocked the doors off of it too, and so. But every time you do something right, you learn,
sure.
and you start at a higher level. That's what I found. So when we started Specialized IRA Services, we were able to start with. Just, I won't get all the details because people probably aren't that interested. They just care about the result. Am I getting the result that I'm looking for? That's all I care about. Are you doing it fast? Are you friendly? Are you helping me? Am I making money? That's what people care about. So I guess I could summarize it all by saying everything that we do and everything we were able to build in when we set up this company is built and designed for speed and to do that for our clients.
So, you know, most of our listeners are interested in real estate investing, and obviously it goes hand in hand with these self-directed accounts. Maybe just hit some of the high levels. Why would a real estate investor, somebody that's looking to invest in real estate in some form or fashion, why should they be interested in self-directed retirement accounts?
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch of reasons, but let me just touch on a few that I think are important to people. One reason is that if you already have money accumulated in a retirement account from a previous job, or, you know, whether you're a full-time investor, you're just interested in real estate investing. It doesn't really matter. If you have money in a retirement account someplace, then you have access to money that you can deploy and start making more money on and generating higher returns. One of the number one things that I see people moving into self-directed retirement investing, and particularly into real estate, is because they're looking to accomplish 3 things. They want security. They want predictability and they want consistency in their income and in their portfolio. And truthfully, the only place I've seen that you can do that is in a self-directed retirement account environment. Hmm. And we can talk more about, and we'll talk more about that when we talk about deals that people are doing. So that's one benefit. Second benefit, and the second benefit are the tax benefits. So the reality is that depending upon the kind of account you choose, you can actually get out from underneath all future taxes. No income tax, no capital gains tax, no Medicare tax, no Social Security tax, no tax at all. And what people don't realize, most people, even business owners don't understand this to some degree. I mean, entrepreneurs, business owners understand it more than the average everyday person, because, you know, we actually have to write the tax checks, right? So we know what that looks like. But what people don't realize is the crippling effect that taxes have on your ability to create wealth. And so to put that in perspective, when I ask people, I say, who's the richest person you can think of in the history of the United States? They'll typically mention Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. But the reality is that the wealthiest people on an inflation-adjusted basis were people like John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, J.P. Morgan. What's the big difference between those guys and Steve Jobs and Bill Gates at Microsoft? The big difference is back then when they created their wealth, they didn't have any income tax in place. They weren't subject to the taxes that we're subject to today. Mm-hmm. And that has been a big, big impediment to people creating wealth. So so the first benefit is that you move from an environment of volatility, like the stock market or mutual funds, into an environment of security, predictability, and consistency. Second benefit are the tax benefits. And then in terms of the third benefit I could give you a whole slew of them, but one of them I'll just share is the asset protection feature on retirement accounts. People are not aware of this, but as an example, if you had if you declared bankruptcy personally, the court will not attach a judgment to anything inside your retirement account. Your retirement account is off limits for the most part. Okay. If you have a business that goes bankrupt, the court will not attach a judgment against your retirement account. Okay. If you were tried and convicted of a criminal offense, the court can take your life, but they can't take your retirement account. So it doesn't even seem right, does it, Ken? But
that's crazy.
But that's how it works. Yeah. That's how it works. And I could go on and on and on, as you could probably tell, but suffice it to say, those are three big benefits that people get immediately when they move money into a retirement account, into a self-directed retirement account specifically, and get control over their money.
That's really interesting. You don't think about it being an asset protection tool, but that makes a ton of sense. I mean, the more you can crank into a retirement account, you're really shielding it from lawsuits and from whatever else that could go sideways in your life. That's really interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. I could give you actual case studies. We probably don't have time for that. It's not relevant right now. That's a whole separate call. But I could give you case studies of people who are out there who've been tried and convicted of all kinds of things, but they're still wealthy because all their money is they're spending from their retirement account. And the courts and people who have judgments against them can't touch it. It's untouchable.
You know, I'd heard, and this may or may not be true, but I'd heard that, you know, a bunch of Mitt Romney's wealth is tied up in self-directed accounts. That's really where he was able to, you know, shield a ton from taxes and put away a bunch of wealth. It's all in retirement accounts. I'm not sure if you've heard that before or not.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. I happen to be, I can't tell you that Mitt Romney's a client, but I can tell you that I am. I have family members of his who are clients. And his IRA is worth, and I'm not speaking out of turn here. He when he ran for president, he released financials that showed that his self-directed retirement account was worth $101.2 million at the time that he made the disclosure. The reality is that it wouldn't be worth $101.2 million if he made those investments outside the retirement account, because he would not have had the tax protection features.
Sure.
That's one reason why it's worth 100. I mean, by the way, that's not the largest retirement account I've ever heard of. I've personally seen a retirement account, one account valued at $180 million.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, now, those are rare. Those are extremely rare, but I've seen it.
Well, considering the limits on what you can contribute to a retirement account, that's some really creative structuring to get your account to that level. Am I right?
Yep. Yeah, and actually, you know, that's a great thing about this whole world that you and I deal in is that you got to be creative, but at the same time, it isn't rocket science, and it's not terribly cumbersome to do. In fact, I can give you an example of a guy I was just talking to yesterday. We're structuring a deal, and I can show you how fast you can grow these accounts if you want to talk about that one.
Well, let's do this. Let's make this your, if this is a smoking deal, let's talk about it as the best deal ever, and maybe it could be just one of your clients, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. So this particular transaction that I helped the guy put together yesterday. So here's kind of the deal. He wants to buy a distressed property, right? So he's buying a piece of real estate, and he's putting $500 down. And the 500, that's all he needs, because what he's doing is he's borrowing $50,000 from a hard money lender. So let me kind of break down a couple important aspects of this transaction. The first thing we did was set up a Roth 401k. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details right now. If you want to know about the details of how these things work, you know, feel free to give us a call or contact us. We can go over it. But what we did was we set up a Roth 401k, and he contributed $500 into that account. Then the $500 leaves the account and goes to as earnest money, you know, as financial consideration in the transaction. His Roth 401k is allowed to borrow. That's the other cool thing about it. So you don't have to, it doesn't have to be all your money. You're allowed to borrow in retirement accounts. It's not prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
So he borrowed $50,000 from a hard money lender. It's a non-recourse loan. Okay, that's the kind of loan we need inside of an IRA. So it's a non-recourse loan. And they're closing on the transaction. This is going to be done. This is all going to wrap up in the next 30 days. And so he'll have $500 of his own IRA money, if you will, in the deal. Then what's going to happen is it's going to take him about 60 to 90 days to rehab the property and then market it and sell it. When he sells it, he's going to book approximately a $40,000 profit. That $40,000 goes back to that retirement account. He pays nothing in capital gains tax. There's no income tax. There's no tax at all. And in the future, when he decides to spend that money, he'll be able to spend it 100% tax-free. And so if you think about doing that outside that account, because he could have put $500 down and borrowed money, right, and done that same deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is that when you're making investments and you're in and out in less than 12 months, that's short-term capital gains, which is basically ordinary income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about a 30 to 40% hit on that $40,000 profit going to the government.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that the way we structured it, he gets to keep all that money. I mean, it's like he almost doubled the return on investment just by doing it inside of that account. Well, think about how fast you can exponentially grow your wealth if you can eliminate taxes. That's why I say taxes have a crippling effect on people's ability to create any kind of sustainable wealth in this country.
That's unbelievable. I mean, a $500 contribution. Well, it's also kind of unbelievable that he found a hard money lender that did a non-recourse loan, 100% financing. I'm guessing it must have been like a private lender, somebody that he knew that was willing to do the deal.
Yeah, we could talk about that too, because that's a whole other angle. And that's another way that people can really benefit and grow their retirement accounts, as well as work with other people and not have to do all the work.
Well, you know what, that's actually not a bad topic to just touch on real quick as we wrap up, is this whole idea of investing as a private lender, because it's something that's very much related to our business. Maybe talk for a second about some of the clients that you work with that operate as private lenders.
Yeah, so I will tell you that above all, my favorite investment inside of a self-directed IRA is a note or a mortgage or a trust deed, right? And the reason why is because it's 100% passive in nature. So I'll use you, Ken, as an example. Let's say somebody has an IRA sitting with us and they want to lend you money, right? Well, the nice thing about it is that basically you're taking on all the work, right? So all they're doing is that their retirement account is acting as the bank. So it's just a simple signature on a couple pieces of paper, and that's it. The money leaves their retirement account and goes to you to purchase that deal. Typically, they're in a first position,
you know,
it's recorded against the property, so their money is secured,
yep.
Right? There's a stated return on that note, whatever you and that investor negotiate. But I can tell you that we have people pay, you know, 8% on money, 10% money, 12%. I mean, it ranges.
Yep.
But at 8%, 8% is superior to what people are getting in the stock market. Because first of all, it's very consistent, right? It's predictable. It's tied to an asset.
Sure.
And so what happens is you as the investor do the deal. And when the deal is done and it goes to closing, right? And the new buyer comes in and takes that property off your hands, they get their money back plus the return. And again, it's all 100% tax free. And the nice thing about that is that lender, right? Private investor didn't do any work in the transaction. And for you as the real estate investor in that side of the equation, is that you can say, look, I'm going to buy this property for 50 and I want all the money for the acquisition and the fix up, but it's worth $100,000 on the market. So if I don't perform or I can't sell it in time, then guess what? You get to take back the property and you get to sell it and then you get the big check.
Yeah, right. Worst case scenario is not so bad.
Yeah, worst case scenario is you make more money.
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, you know, as long as you're dealing with somebody who knows what they're doing, right? And so that's where I say it's just incredible some of the returns that I see people making. As a matter of fact, one reason why I use the words consistent, predictable, and secure is because I don't like talking about returns. And the reason why I don't like talking about returns is because if I told you some of the returns that I saw people making on a percentage basis, people would say, I don't believe it. I mean, they just wouldn't believe it because that's not what people are used to.
Sure.
But it is what's possible, and we see it every day.
Well, and I'll attest to that fact because my listeners know that I operate Georgia Residential Partners here in Georgia, and the majority of our capital is from retirement accounts. I mean, literally millions of dollars that we're moving in and out of properties every day from these types of private lenders. And I'll tell you, we pay our lenders a lot more than 8%. And I guess that's maybe a shameless plug for those listeners that are interested in putting some retirement dollars to work. But that's what we do. We work with private lenders all the time. And like you said, I mean, it almost doesn't get any safer than that because you're secured in first lien position. Worst case scenario, I get hit by a bus tomorrow. You take the asset back and you're already in a really good position. You actually probably make more money. So, I mean, I'm 100% in sync with what you're saying because it's what we do on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that. So that's my first favorite investment inside of a self-directed IRA. I'll just tell you my second favorite one very quickly is you know, one of the things that people will say to me sometimes is, well, you know, when I've talked to my financial advisor about this or my CPA, they say, you know, I need to be concerned about prohibited transactions and self-dealing rules and all these things. And, you know, I should be careful. Well, you know, there are self-dealing rules. There is a learning curve there a little bit. But here's an easy way to avoid all of that and not have to even spend any time on it. If you're purchasing and I'll use a buy and hold property as an example. If you purchase a buy and hold property in your retirement account from another investor, right? So they're finding the property, they're handling the fix up, they're helping find the tenant, they put a property manager in place or they manage the property for the IRA owner. Guess what? You're not going to trigger any violations. It's virtually impossible to do that. So you can get all the benefits of real estate investing, all that generate consistent, predictable income every single month from the rental income and not even have to worry about prohibited transactions. So you know, lending is number one. Buying turnkey properties is number two. We see client, and we have a lot of clients doing that. They're having a lot of success with it. And I tell you, when they have success, they refer friends, family, colleagues, people that they know, because they just see it working so much better than what they were doing before and with their mutual funds.
Well, and even in addition to that, if you're buying an individual property to buy and hold, there's actually financing available to you now. I mean, it's unbelievable that you can actually use leverage with your retirement account to buy a house.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's actually another one of my favorite strategies. So we actually had a client do that where he had enough money to buy a few properties, but instead what he opted to do was buy 10 properties. And he used his IRA money as a down payment and then had his IRA borrow the rest. And the reason why we did that was because one of the things in talking to him and doing some consulting for him was he says, you know, here's my goal. Here's what I really want to achieve at the end of the day. I want to get X number of dollars. And it was about $5,000 to $6,000 a month in consistent, predictable income. So that's what I'd like to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically what we figured out was you need about 10 properties to do that. So that's why we used the money as down payment and then his IRA borrowed the rest. Now, the advantage of that is that the guy's 20 years from retirement. Well, the cool thing about it is that it doesn't matter if those properties are mortgaged or not, because guess what? He can't spend the income today anyway. It's all going back to his retirement account. Mm-hmm. So he just takes the rental income and is paying those notes off. So by the time he's ready to start spending that money, those will be free and clear properties.
Hmm.
And but the cool thing about that is think about how well that client sleeps at night, Ken, because he's already won the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
He's acquired the assets. They're performing. He knows the income numbers. He already knows what the outcome is. He doesn't have to worry about it anymore.
That's right. Well, and on top of the cash flow, he's getting appreciation at who knows what rate. I mean, that's just butter.
Exactly.
Yeah, these are amazing strategies. I mean, for our listeners who haven't looked into retirement accounts, especially if you already have a retirement account that's just, you know, piddling in the stock market, waiting for it to correct itself probably later this year. I mean, what a great opportunity to get into real estate using funds that you've already put away into a retirement account. I mean, these strategies, and truthfully, I want to make sure people understand that, Edwin, that you actually consult with them, where a lot of the other custodians out there, you know, they're the big box shops. Yeah, they'll take your money, but they don't necessarily tell you how to use it. I think maybe that's what sets you guys apart, is that you consult with them and say, hey, have you thought about this? Or what about this strategy for your situation? I think that's where you guys probably add the most value. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because one of the things that I'll tell you, and that's one of the things I've learned from being in this space so long, is that most IRA providers will just tell you that, well, just get an IRA and then you can be successful. And people do that. And I've been in this business long enough that I've seen it. And what happens is people open up an account, they move money into the account, and they don't know what to do with it. And so then they get stuck, mm-hmm. and they get frustrated. And then they might go back to you know, E-Trade or wherever they came from, you know, 3 years later. And the problem with that is that when I remember, and I this is one reason why we started the consulting, actually, because when at previous companies, when people would move their account back to where they came from, I would pick up the phone and call them and say, well, I understand. Why are you leaving? And they say, because I can't do anything. I don't know what to do. Hmm. And to me, it was the saddest thing to hear, because when people open up a self-directed IRA, the person who opens up a self-directed IRA, Ken, is different than anybody else. They're doing it because they have a hope, a dream, and a goal. They usually have a family and people that are important to them that they want to take care of. And they believe this is the way to do it. And they're not happy with what's going on right now. That's why they're making a change or a shift into a new direction. And when they close an account, it's not just that they're closing an account, it's that they're giving up on their dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, we just can't have that. That's not acceptable to me. You know, I just can't can't sleep at night seeing that happen. And so that's where we dove into it and said, well, what do we need to do to help people actually implement and use their account and grow it and achieve the success that they're looking for? And that's really where the consulting and everything else was born from. So what we learned through that process is that this is highly customized. There are no cookie cutter approaches. And so we treat every client individually, and we have a very good success rate at helping clients implement and actually invest their money pretty quickly. And we have more time. I could go on and on and on about stories and clients who've done that, but suffice it to say, yeah, I think that's one of the things that sets us apart.
Okay, so to that point, how do we direct people to you? Where can they find you?
So they can go to specializediraservices.com. That's our website. And one of the best ways to get, and feel free, we have a live chat on that site. There are phone numbers on that site. You can call in and talk to a self-directed specialist and set up a consultation. You can, we also, if you kind of scroll to the bottom of that website, we are just launching a brand new book that I published, The Field Guide to Financial Freedom. And it is the best book. Right now, we're giving it away 100% free. It's eventually going to be for sale for about $30 on Amazon. But right now we're giving it away free, and you can just put your information in and we'll send it to you and give you a free consultation as well. So that's the best way to get a hold of us, specializediraservices.com.
Fantastic. Edwin, thanks so much for being on the show. I mean, this is super insightful. I know a lot of these tools and resources could be extraordinarily helpful for some of our listeners. Again, folks, it's specializediraservices.com. Edwin, thanks again for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Ken, thanks so much.
All right, take care. Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini reminding you to check us out online at dealfarm.net. Feel free to download our free ebook, How to Invest in Real Estate. And do not forget, we still have our free t-shirt offer going. All you have to do to get a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt is go into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Once you've done that, go to our website, email us and let us know that you've done it. Give us your address and t-shirt size, and the t-shirt will be in the mail immediately. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Deal Farm. Take care.